This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The Little Town Flirt, Del Shannon there. You like the old-time music we play on here? I call it old-time music. Goodness. I was dancing to that kind of stuff. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us this Wednesday morning, October 23rd. Boy, it's nice out today. In fact, I would tell you it's the nicest day of the month so far on the drive over here. In Tampa Bay. It's in the very low 70s. We like it. We like it. Well, we will all be joined here in a few minutes by Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. We're going to talk about his book, The Skyscraper Curse. And no, it's not about fear of heights. It's rather the connection between building these huge skyscrapers and, believe it or not, how the economy can go in the tank. Kind of a warning sign. So stick around for that. I think you're going to find it very interesting. And is Hillary Clinton coming back like a bad penny? Is she going to get back in the presidential race? Everybody's talking about it. New York Times article on it. We're going to take a look at the odds of Hillary coming back. I don't know what. There must be odds, Ed, in Las Vegas for Hillary Clinton on whether or not she will come back. We'll talk about it. And Andrew the Master Barber and his barber poll are going to be back to take on another new poll, which shows more people now are favoring an inquiry into an impeachment. Now, what's going on there? We'll talk about that with Andrew. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 travel cities in America. Which ones are they? The destination cities. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Tampa Bay's best barber, Andrew, and his staff. They are in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, and that is just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. And I'm telling you, not only is a great haircut in the offing for you, but it's a nice looking place. You go in there and boy, I must tell you, just to go in there and look at all the, he's got these little model cars and pictures and posters, but he does it in such a, I think, a tasteful way. Anyway, the reason you're going there is because you're going to get the best haircut you can get. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, will you please go to our website? Because then you can hear us anytime you want. OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Big Ed, my buddy, sets up all of our shows. All you got to do is go to the top of the page, hit the podcast button, pick your show. You'll see who the guest is in our top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, gosh, you know, I am so tired of talking about impeachment. I mean, my eyes are glazing over. I'm sure your eyes are glazing over. We don't want to talk about it anymore. I do not think the Democrats are going to call for it. I really don't. I think they're too afraid. And believe me, once they do, if they do, I think nothing but good news for Trump. I really believe that. But I guess we got to talk about some of it. Now the press and the Democrats are just, I guess, beside themselves with glee. Acting U.S. Ambassador Bill Taylor. Now, this is the guy, he's not quite the U.S. ambassador yet. He's acting U.S. ambassador. Bill Taylor, and this is to Ukraine, has testified that Trump pushed Ukraine to investigate election interference and Joe Biden's son's utility company. And according to Taylor, Trump was willing to stop the military money going to Ukraine unless Ukraine made a public announcement that there was a probe underway. Now, that's what the acting U.S. ambassador is saying. By the way, I can guarantee you the acting U.S. ambassador saying that means he will never become the full-time U.S. ambassador. But he voiced his apparent frustration that his personal preference for providing strong military help to Ukraine was being undercut at points by the Trump administration. So here's the deal. Trump for sure wanted the Ukrainian government to investigate Biden's son and all of the nonsense and interference into the presidential election in 2016. He wanted them to investigate it because there was apparently a connection in Ukraine. And Biden's son was indeed up to no good as the board of directors guy, because it was just access to Biden as vice president. So why is it that everybody's so upset about it? Why don't we find out about all of that? So that's what's going on there. They're going to say, well, because he wanted to get bad stuff on Biden and was willing to hold up aid to the country, that's not that you can impeach somebody for that. Well, if you want to find out what's going on in terms of criminality, I don't know why you can't hold up money. I mean, if somebody said, I'll pay you or I'll give you this, but first of all, I want to find out if this guy is doing something criminally wrong, I think that's all right. I don't see that as a problem. Now, if he said, I want to make sure that before you get the money, no matter if it's right or wrong, I want you to slander this guy, you know, then you might have a case. But if you're just looking for the truth, I'm not so sure. In the meantime, John Durham, remember him? He is our U.S. Attorney General. He is investigating the origins of the 2016 probe by the FBI and other Department of Justice officials. But he has expanded his probe. That's why maybe this thing isn't coming to a conclusion. He's expanded the probe. He's been to Italy, specifically Rome. He took his Attorney General Bill Barr with him. I said he was Attorney General. Durham is U.S. Attorney. Durham apparently very interested in questioning James Clapper and John Brennan, both in the Department of Justice, after having gone there. All having to do with the Steele dossier. Do you remember that? The Steele dossier that the Democratic Party through Hillary Clinton paid for. That had all kinds of nonsense in it, apparently, about Donald Trump. And all of that was over in England. So he's trying to get into the origins of all of that nonsense. And hopefully down the road here, and not too late, they're going to finally come up with all of the announcements about what is going on with the Democrats and Hillary Clinton and the rest of it. In the meantime, we're going to take our break now, and we're going to entirely switch gears. Going to talk about skyscrapers, and we're going to talk how they have something to do with economics. So stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on Freedom Work. Thank you very much for joining us. Beautiful day in Tampa Bay. Delighted to have back an old buddy, Mark Thornton. He is a senior fellow at the terrific Ludwig von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. And he has penned a book called The Skyscraper Curse and How Austrian Economists Predicted Every Major Economic Crisis of the Last Century. Quite a mouthful, Mark, but quite a book. In fact, I'm going to ask you just right off to tell us a little bit about what you call the Skyscraper Index.
Paul, it's great to be back on the air with you. The Skyscraper Index is something I came across about 20 years ago, actually. And it's the unlikely correlation between the building of a world record-setting skyscraper and an impending economic crisis.
Wow.
Yeah. And that doesn't seem very likely.
No.
So the fact that it's been lined up for more than a century now, this dates back into the 19th century when they started building steel and concrete structures, particularly in New York and Chicago. And every time they went to a new record height, the economy, and very often the whole world economy, fell into an economic crisis.
Really?
And then the biggest one was, of course, in the late 1920s. We were in the booming 1920s, and these huge skyscrapers started going up on 40 Wall Street in Manhattan, and then the Chrysler Building, which then topped that record, and then ultimately the Empire State Building, setting a mammoth record there in New York as the economy slid down, the stock market crashed, and we entered the Great Depression.
Yes, in fact, I know that the Empire State Building officially opened in 1930, but they were building it while the stock market crash of 1929 had occurred. So it just popped up there right after that.
That's right, and it set the record. But then, of course, you know, you've got to finish the building, and then you've got to get the inside ready before you can have an official opening ceremony. So very often the opening ceremony comes in the depth of the economic crisis, as it did recently with the housing bubble and financial crisis.
So tell us, how do these two relate? You say that this goes back, and you can use the theory over and over again. So why is it that the economy is faltering as huge buildings are going up?
Yes, I mean, that doesn't sound right at all to just about everybody. And the fact is that there's a third factor at play here, and that is artificially low interest rates for a long period of time that get the economy overheated and get everybody super speculative. You know, everybody's making money. The stock market's going up. There's no unemployment. Everything, profits are rising. And so that then you enter this the era where people do these hyper-speculative projects, and you know, where you have people with bloated egos, and one of the things builders and developers want to do is make it bigger and better and fancier and more high-tech than ever.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, if borrowing money is attractive because the rates are so low, you're going to have all kinds of people that say, hey, I'm going to get in and borrow this money, and I got this great idea, and so therefore I will go ahead and act on my idea, and that kind of thing. So, is that partly what happened with the stock market crash of 29? Everybody was mortgaged up to the hilt because money was available, easily available?
Yeah, well, exactly right, Paul. Just think about it. You know, if the Federal Reserve, our central bank, is lowering its target interest rates and buying bonds from the banks so the banks have more cash to lend out, the banks have, you know, a huge amount of credit that they have available to sell to mortgages, developers, and so on and so forth. And so the banks have to go out and find less credit-worthy customers or people who are dealing with a high degree of speculation in what they're doing. And on top of that, of course, is you've got just a whole lot of new projects going on, houses being built, shopping centers being built, commercial property that's being built, factories that are being built. And so you enter that bubble phase of the economy where everything seems to be going right just before everything seems to be going wrong.
We're talking with Mark Thornton. He is a senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, author of the book The Skyscraper Curse. And Mark, I'm thinking, you know, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about how people got into the internet website thing because money was... again, the interest rates were very low. Was that kind of the same thing? And then all of the crashing of the, you know, all of that, all of these different things on the internet, is that kind of similar to this skyscraper curse theory?
Oh, yes, very much so. I mean, in the tech bubble of the late 1990s, interest rates were being held artificially low. And so all these projects, all these web-based projects, internet-based projects, you know, Petco.com, all of these companies all simultaneously starting all these projects for which they really didn't have a lot of experience, or they didn't really have good estimates of what their costs would be or what their revenues would be. But banks and financial firms were willing to finance it because they had just really an unlimited amount of credit available to them, pretty much as it is today with the Federal Reserve holding interest rates down below 1%. You know, banks have such easy access to cash that they'll finance just about anything. And ultimately what you see is, you know, people are building taller structures. And you can see that right here in Auburn, Alabama. I imagine you can see it in the Tampa Bay area, you know, because one of the things that happens when interest rates are artificially low is that that drives up the price of land. And this, anybody in the real estate business with any experience there will tell you, lower interest rates increase the price of land. And when the price of land goes up, you don't have any choice except to build taller. And so you get thrust into building bigger and bigger projects, more speculative projects. And because everybody's doing it, that drives up everybody's cost. Everybody underestimates their cost. And then when all of these projects start coming online and open for business and start to lease, what they find is that the revenues that they projected are also their projections are much higher than what the actual results are. And so your costs are rising, your revenues are falling. That eliminates profit, causes losses, and ultimately it can lead to bankruptcies and foreclosures.
Right, because you build all of these things and then you don't get tenants, as many tenants as you projected. So let me ask you, Mark, how does
that's what happens. That's what happened with the Empire State Building.
Yes.
For decades, they called it, in New York, they called it the empty Empire Building.
Yeah, I can see why.
Empty State Building.
I mean, because it came right on the dawn of the stock market crash. So this then dovetails into Austrian economics, does it not? We're talking about the Federal Reserve holding down interest rates. So tell us how Austrian economics then becomes a factor and plays into this.
Well, I think that's the reason why I picked up on the skyscraper curse that was published by Andrew Lawrence in 1999 in the Wall Street Journal, Investors Business Daily, etc. Everybody else laughed at it, but I saw the Austrian business cycle theory at work, that not only do you have with artificially low interest rates, not only do you have more investment, but it actually changes the type of investment to a more tech-based investment, so that the skyscrapers have to change their nature. You have to come up with new ways of elevators, of escalators, of staircases, of plumbing, of air conditioning, of communication in the building. All of those systems have to change. And so companies throughout the economy are shifting. They're making different types of investments. And everybody's looking longer term, because you don't have to discount the future revenues as much as you otherwise would when interest rates are normal. So it fit in perfectly with the Austrian business cycle theory. And that's why I've been working on it now for almost 20 years, writing about it, trying to warn people about the dangers of artificially low interest rates, because the general tendency amongst the general population is just to love low interest rates and to, you know, applaud the Federal Reserve for cutting interest rates as they've been doing lately. And, you know, anytime the government is artificially stimulating or preventing something in the economy, it's going to cause trouble. And when they mess around with the interest rate in the economy, it can cause economy-wide trouble for people in the form of unemployment, losses, bankruptcies, foreclosures. And so this is a warning, basically, that Austrian economists have been preaching now for a very long time.
Rand Paul always wants the Fed kind of out of the way, as did his father, Ron Paul, either audit the Fed or get rid of the Federal Reserve, let the interest rates just rise and fall in the free market. Is that part of Austrian economics, Mark?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, Austrian economics preaches and teaches that the government can screw up just about everything. And, you know, it's not necessary. There's nothing written in stone or given by God that says the government has to control interest rates in the money supply. That can all be done very easily with a gold standard, with an honest, stable monetary system where interest rates are determined by the free-flowing transactions between savers, financial firms, and borrowers, investors, and entrepreneurs. That works just fine. It works very fast, and it keeps the economy stable over the long haul. And so Austrian economists advocate anything that brings us closer to that, and auditing the Fed is a baby step in that process of letting the Federal Reserve know that somebody's looking over their shoulder. But ultimately, we'd like to see a gold standard type monetary system with honest money that has its own intrinsic value. And, you know, that's how the Western society grew up on that kind of system. We emerge from feudalism and primitive economics into what we have today on the backs of the gold standard, which was only really done away with in 1971. And we've seen inflation, and we've seen the ravages of the business cycle be very disruptive to everybody's lives. And so We would like to definitely return to a more natural, safety-based system like gold.
We've been talking with Mark Thornton, senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Mark, you got a new book you're working on?
Well, I'm working on a book by the first economic theorist. His name is Richard Cantillon, and his book, written in 1730, is what spread the good news of economic theory to people like David Hume and Adam Smith and all the other classical Enlightenment economists. So prior to that, we were living on feudalism and central government control of everything, including our people's lives. And after Richard Cantillon wrote his book, we realized for the first time that the economy is a self-regulating institution. It doesn't need any government controls. And so I'm digging through all of his discoveries, like entrepreneurship. He coined the term, modern term, entrepreneurship.
Oh, really?
Yes. And, you know, almost all of what we know, and certainly all of what Adam Smith knew, was brought to you by this Irish banker economist named Richard Cantillon, and so he did great things, and he enlightened all the French liberal economists, the English and the Scottish economists, and that helped usher in the free world as we know it today. Not to mention the Industrial Revolution.
Really? Wow.
So very, very important person, long forgotten, unfortunately. I've worked on translating that essay into modern English, and I'm just compiling all of his contributions that he's responsible for. It's really an amazing thing, and I hope it has some impact on modern readers.
Well, terrific, and very good of you. I'm sure he would appreciate the fact that you're bringing him to the forefront. Thank you so much, Mark. I know we'll be talking again soon, so thanks for being on with us.
Paul, I just learned yesterday through Ancestry.com that most of my DNA comes from the very region in Ireland that Cantillon was born into. So,
oh, well,
really,
you can... Maybe, just see, there you are. I can see why you want to find out more about this guy. He's probably part of your family.
I hope so.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
All right. There he is, Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. We are going to take our break, and when we come back, we've got Andrew the Master Barber. He's going to bring his barber poll. We're going to take a look at another poll showing that more and more people want an impeachment inquiry.
Through my hair, come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Travel around the world, and you'll never have to leave St. Pete at the 45th Annual International Folk Fair, October 25th through the 27th, with the Betty Fox Band performing Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Gates open Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at noon. Visit over 39 countries, watch parades, sample their food, and purchase gift items. Check out the Beer Garden on Saturday, with bands performing on the main stage. Admission is just $10 for adults, $6 for students, and children under 6 are free. It's the 45th Annual International Folk Fair at the Vinoy Park in St. Pete, all presented by spiffs.org.
The Brian Cash Clause Radio Show. More business for your business every Thursday at 2. 106.1 FM, 1340 AM. Local business owners, listen up. We direct more customers through your doors with a printed coupon book and radio show. More business for your business. Call 727-600-4889. That's 727-600-4889.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Again, what a beautiful morning it's been here in Tampa Bay. One of our best. Delighted to have back our buddy, Andrew the Master Barber. He totes along his barber pole. And Andrew, I'm looking at another pole right now. It's the Quinnipiac pole, Quinnipiac University. And it's not really good news for Donald Trump. It shows here that American voters now, by a 55% to 43% margin, approve of an impeachment inquiry. Now, I'm not surprised. Mainstream media has been beating him like a drum for all of this time, as have the Democrats. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, Paul, you know, first of all, you know, I don't believe any of these polls. I mean, Quinnipiac, you talk about all the time, but I don't think Quinnipiac is, you know, just as good as any other one that I see out there, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them with their polls messed up many a times. Okay? Number two, they're driving this thing of impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. There's not going to be no vote, Paul.
I don't think there is either.
There isn't going to be no vote. As far as the people inquiring, as far as I see, I saw a poll this morning how many people want Trump impeached. It was 174,000 something didn't want him impeached, and like 15,000 did. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're skewed as well. I tend to agree with you. I don't think these polls are accurate. I agree. I think there's also some, what's the word, intimidation that comes along, people not wanting to really give their correct feelings.
That's right, Paul. It's just like the last election. You know, Hillary up 92% to Trump's 8%, and look what happened. He walked all over her.
Speaking of that wonderful woman,
there's going to be a rematch, you know it, and I know
now,
it.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you. I want to know whether or not Hillary is going to toss her broomstick into the race again, or is she going to sit it out?
You know, Paul, it all depends on how long they hold off on all this crap they're investigating. The Republicans are investigating, okay? All with the FISA report, this, that, and everything else. If nothing goes on with this, like we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, we haven't heard nothing about the IG report, have we? Not a thing.
Although,
it's like everything is getting buried under the rug. Even with Barr, you know, what is this taking you guys so long? I mean, let's be real. You could pull up a case against somebody. You get all this stuff there. What is going on?
Well, we read a story a little earlier today, Andrew, about the fact that he's over there currently in Europe. He's brought along John Durham with him, and they've apparently expanded their investigation. They apparently have new evidence that's been uncovered during their trip to Rome. It has to do with James Clapper and former CIA Director John Brennan and all of the connection into the Steele dossier. So they've got other people that they want to... it becomes very complicated. But the Steele...
Well, it's a spider web, okay?
As far as I know,
they could travel all over the freaking world. They got ties everywhere.
They do.
But trying to take down Trump. This could take forever.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, the Democrats decided that there had to be a way of bringing down Donald Trump. So they were working on this even before the election to find if there was any connection with Russia or some other foreign country. There was not. They started making things up. They took the Steele dossier, which was this nonsense.
This is it, Paul. They got all the evidence that was colluded with Russia.
Then they threw it out into the press. The press gobbled it up and started spewing it out. So the Department of Justice and the FBI, which is part of the Department of Justice, have a bunch of people that were intentionally trying to bring down Donald Trump. And that's, you can't do that. You can't be subjective and be, taking sides like that.
Well, like you said, from day one, they've been trying to take him down. We know there's corruption. If Hillary would have got elected, we would have known none of this ever even went on. It's all swept under the rug, okay?
Yep.
They've got enough to go after these people. They need to start talking it up. The only one that talks it up is Fox and One American News, okay? And the average people don't listen to it. I mean, how many people are in this country are listening to these states? What are there, 300 million of us?
Well, Fox News has got more of a viewership than any of those others.
But it's still the mainstream media.
Yeah, but you're working against all three major networks
as well. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, it is a bunch of baloney going on. This country is falling apart because these morons for 3 years have done nothing but impeach Trump, impeach Trump, impeach Trump, okay? People are tired of this crap, Paul. I hear them talk about it all day long. I might have one or two people come in the barbershop. Oh, they need to get rid of them. They don't last long, believe me.
Let me ask you this now. You will still give them a good haircut, even if they're liberal, correct? I'll be honest.
Paul, they don't really stay around that long
okay.
to sit in the chair, to be honest with you.
But the
time has come where people better realize what's going on with this country. And they don't, because half of this country is really stupid. I'm going to be honest with you. I run into them all day long.
Well, I would call them
being out in public.
Uninformed, or the word ignorant.
They're uninformed. No, these people are stupid. There's a difference.
Stupid.
If you talk to these people, they probably got an IQ of 10.
Okay. Are they all Democrats?
I imagine there's some Republicans, too, but they're just some stupid people going on in this world today.
Well, you know what? God makes all kinds, stupid and smart.
No, that's true. As long as the stupid ones vote for Trump, I'm happy.
Okay.
But anyway, they need to put an end to this stuff. The Republicans need to stand up. Look at that moron Romney. Now he's got his alias up on Twitter.
Yeah, I love the name, too. I can't remember. Do you remember what he calls himself?
Delicati or something. Pierre Delicati.
Yeah, Pierre Delicati.
Okay, what a freaking moron this guy. He's a disgrace to the human race. The Mormons should really be pissed off at this guy.
He sounds like a light-footed waiter with that name.
Him and Hillary ought to join teams and run against Trump, okay? Because both of them are jealous that Trump won. Neither one of them could do it. Hey, let's face the facts, you know. You had Hillary in there. She's going to run again. Where's she going to go if she lasts long enough? And hopefully all this dirt will come up with them. And you know what? I would love to see Trump in a debate with her. He would shut her up so quick she wouldn't know what she's talking about. I mean, she doesn't know what she's talking about now. Everybody's Russian, Paul. Everybody's Russian. I'm colluding with the Russians in my barbershop. What do you think of that one? I mean, come on.
Well, I did see a picture of Joseph Stalin over in the corner.
I'm so sick of hearing her, and so is everybody else. Where is she going to go? They're better off putting Elizabeth Warren in there, to be honest with you.
What about Tulsi Gabbard and this feud between...
She's, now, you know, I get a kick out of what she's doing, but the fact is, look at how she talked before. Okay, granted, she's fighting with Hillary Clinton, but still, look what she stands for. Open borders, welfare for everybody. I can't believe this girl is a veteran, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you match the fact that she had about 15 years in the service, and then she comes out and she supports Bernie Sanders, who's basically spent his honeymoon in Moscow. So, no, seriously, that's what he did.
Like I said,
what's going on with that kind of thinking where you serve the military, and yet you are so far to the left?
Well, you know, the thing is this. She's trying to come across as a middle-of-the-road Democrat. To try and get in there. She's smart by doing it because everybody else is to the left.
Mm-hmm.
So if she gets to be their middle-of-the-road Democrat, then she could talk about what she was, as long as she gets the nomination. And let's face it, these Democrats are going to say anything they can to get the nomination. They'll chew each other's heads off. They'll talk bad about each other. And they're all a bunch of morons. Listen to them talk.
The New York Times has this article that talks about the fact that there's nobody in the Democratic Party that is garnering any kind of excitement among the base. And that is why they're looking outside, and whether it would be Hillary Clinton or Michael Bloomberg from New York.
Yeah, where's Bloomberg going to? He's another one. He ain't going nowhere. None of them are, Paul. All he's got is money to back him.
That's right.
He's got nothing else going for him. He's got no appeal to the people. He's got the personality of a rock.
He's
the one that wanted to get away with the big drinks in New York, remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
He kind of reminds me of the current New York mayor, who has absolutely no charisma and no support, and yet he thought he might be able to win the Democratic presidential nomination. What are you kidding?
And listen, the Democrats, okay, there's a lot of middle-of-the-road Democrats, all right? And they're all leaning to Trump. I got news for you. I hear them all the time. They're middle-of-the-road, and they're going for Trump, period.
Well, the blue-collar union types. They're sort of magnetized to him. I mean, who can you look at? I mean, look, Biden is the only one of all of them that has any kind of, I would call, middle-of-the-road Democratic philosophy. And he steps on his toes every time he gets in front of a microphone now.
He's got dementia going on. He don't remember what he's saying.
Yeah, he can't seem to form a complete sentence anymore. It's kind of sad to watch him.
Here's the facts of life. You can listen to all the polls you want. Okay, I would like to have Trump have a rally at the same day the Super Bowl is going on, because I believe he'll attract more people than the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
I mean, let's face the facts. He had 80,000 people up in Dallas, Paul.
There's no question about how he can drop people.
That's got to be the proof, Paul. The people are showing up and the people are backing. And the media can say what they want, okay? The Democrats can say what they want. They're in dire need. They got no money, Paul. The Democrats are out of money, okay? They got nobody running. But they put Hillary Clinton, and that'll be the biggest joke they could ever do. But that'll be great for Trump. It'll be a landslide.
Andrew the Master Barber, by the way, folks, I almost laughed at him when he told me, I think Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee, and I think he's going to win the presidency. And I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, and this was, Andrew, about a year before the election, we talked about that.
That's right.
And you were dead on. And now, so anytime you tell me what's going to occur, whether it's in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, my friend, I am listening to you.
Yeah, Paul, like I say, the Democrats have got nobody. They're all talking like a bunch of morons. All they've talked about for 3 years is impeach. If the Democrat people, is this all they're living for in life in this country is to impeach Trump? Where are they going? You know, they got nothing better to do with their life because they're wasting theirs just like the Democrats are wasting our time.
Well, not only that, even if for some crazy reason he was convicted, you got Mike Pence, who's more conservative than Trump is.
Listen, the Republicans aren't going to go for impeachment.
No, they're not.
Not going to give up their power.
They are not.
They're going to throw Romney out of the Senate before they would do that.
Well, I mean, he could go back to being a light-footed waiter, couldn't he?
But Trump is going to do it again in 2020. I'm hoping all these reports come out because you know what? That'll shut these damn Democrats up. If they start going down, but right now they seem like they're untouchable, Paul, no matter what they do.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be the people are going to have to take care of this crowd or our elected officials are going to have to take care of it. But you know what? I don't think they want to see the people take care of it because look, I'm telling you, there could be 100 million people marching on Washington if they try to go down with Trump.
Well, I believe
that'll happen.
I'm with you, Andrew, that I don't even think Nancy Pelosi is going to have an impeachment vote. I honestly think they're going to back away from it, but we will see. And as always, love having you with us. We're going to be back talking with you on Friday, my friend.
You got it, Paul. And may Donald Trump be with you in your travels. You have a good day, buddy.
All right. There you go.
See you later.
All right. Andrew, the Master Barber, let us take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about our neighbors to the north. They just had an election for prime minister. Let's find out who won. And also in our top 10, the top 10 biggest travel destinations in America.
42nd Street got a big gym. A walk out here, bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he's big and dumb as a man can come. But he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Boss.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
Do you have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
Travel around the world and you'll never have to leave St. Pete at the 45th Annual International Folk Fair, October 25th through the 27th, with the Betty Fox Band performing Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Gates open Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at noon. Visit over 39 countries, watch parades, sample their food, and purchase gift items. Check out the Beer Garden on Saturday with bands performing on the main stage. Admission is just $10 for adults, $6 for students, and children under 6 are free. It's the 45th Annual International Folk Fair at the Vinoy Park in St. Pete, all presented by spiffs.org.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. So we thank you so very much for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Let's take a look up north. Guess what happened up there? Prime Minister Justin Trudeau eked out a victory. He begins his second term now, but he faces an increasingly divided parliament. They did not, his Liberal Party did not get more than 50% of the votes. Their party got the most votes, but they didn't get 50%. They were 13 votes short, or 13 seats short. So that means that Trudeau and his Liberals are going to have to form an association with one of the other two parties. And while Trudeau said it was a clear mandate that he won, the truth is that he and his party won fewer raw votes nationally than the Conservatives did. So he's got to figure out what he's going to be able to do. And one of the problems has been his inability to get a pipeline built in the Pacific Coast, oil pipeline built. And, you know, the western provinces are the Conservative provinces. The eastern provinces, like Quebec and Ontario, are more liberal. So he's not getting all of those western provinces, like British Columbia and Saskatchewan and Alberta. That's where the oil is, too. So, you know, he's got to work on that. Plus, he says he's going to keep this national carbon tax in place. That's angered Western Canada as well, where the oil fields are. But Trudeau, coming from Quebec, which is more liberal, you know, that's where the carbon tax and green climate, climate change and all that kind of good stuff, that's where all of that comes from. Now, the head of the Conservative Party is a guy by the name of Andrew Scheer. He would have become the prime minister had the Conservatives been able to get the most seats, win the most seats, but he did not. So Scheer said the results show that Trudeau is much weakened since his original election 4 years ago, when the pundits had then predicted the beginning of another Trudeau dynasty. By the way, his father, Justin Trudeau's father was Pierre Trudeau, who was prime minister from 1968 to 1984, although for a couple of years in there he was not. So there you go. That's what's going on up north. And finally, I wanted to mention Angela Merkel. She is Chancellor of Germany, and she says that they have kidded themselves in Germany about multiculturalism, and that there has to be a way of the people that come into the country to assimilate, as opposed to just keeping with their multicultural environment, that it just isn't working in Germany. She said the idea of having people from different backgrounds living side by side has not worked out. And she said more Germans seem to agree. About a third of the country believes Germany has been overrun by foreigners, according to a recent survey. That's very interesting, in my opinion. And, you know, the thing is, you do have to assimilate. If you're going to go live in another country, come on. Stop waving your flag. You're going to live in that country, wave that flag. That's the same thing here in this country, right? I mean, no matter what the group is or people are that come in, learn the culture of America. Become an American. Proudly wave the American flag. That's how things work.
Speak the language.
Yeah. All of the things that we do, you've got to learn to do. Used to be, of course, when we had citizens come in, they had to be able to read and speak to some extent our language. They weren't going to. They had to have a sponsor. You couldn't just walk in the door. You had to have a sponsor to sponsor you that was already an American citizen. So all of those things. All of those things. Okay, it is time, Ed, for our top 10, and we have a good one, I think. These are the cities that are the top 10 destination cities for travel in the United States. So Ed's over on his drums. Without further ado, here we go. Top 10 cities for travel. Number 10, Las Vegas. Not surprising. All the hotels, gambling, all those goofing off in Las Vegas? Of course. Number nine. Despite all of the trouble they're having, San Francisco. Lots of people still going to San Francisco. I don't know. They have to avoid downtown for sure. Number eight. Same thing in Chicago, which is number eight, the Windy City. It's a huge travel destination. People don't realize it because of all the trains and the planes coming into the city. And it's a beautiful city, by the way. The skyline is to die for. Number seven, New York, of course. The Big Apple. I'm surprised it's only number seven, but it's always a destination for tourists. Number six, Seattle, Washington. Yes, indeed. And again, another West Coast city that's going through these homeless troubles and high taxes and blah, blah, blah. But lots of people still going there. Number five. And the only reason this one is in there, I think, is because they got all the vineyards. But Napa, California. I would not have included. I mean, it's the smallest of the cities that are in here, but it's number five overall for a travel destination. Well, of course, you got lots of beautiful area around it. Number four, Portland, Oregon. Kind of like Seattle, right? Big destination, though, for people these days, and it's a beautiful area. Number three, well, you got to get on a plane to go there, but Honolulu. Oh, yeah, no matter how far away it is, Honolulu, Hawaii. Everybody wants to go to Honolulu at one time or another. Number two. Now, I know why, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but it's Sedona, Arizona. Ed, do you know why Sedona, Arizona is the second most?
I have no idea, but that's one of the three states I would never visit.
Really? Arizona?
Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas.
Why?
I don't want to go anywhere hotter and drier than here.
Well, it's going to be a lot drier than here. Yeah. Because we have humidity, but hotter? Yeah, it is a little bit hot there. There's no
question. And dusty? No.
Don't you like cacti?
No.
Okay. Well, the reason it's Sedona, Arizona, it's because the Grand Canyon.
Wouldn't you
want to go see the Grand Canyon?
For a minute.
Well, it's going to take you more than a minute to get there.
No, it doesn't fly over it.
All right. All right, Ed. I don't think you're going to get it. This is a major city. I'm going to tell you it's in the, I would call it the south. Some people would say it's kind of the southwest. But what do you think
really?
Is the... Well, let me ask you. What do you think is the number one? It's southern city. It's a southern
first
city.
First, I would have thought Orlando because of Disney and all that. Maybe New Orleans?
Roll the drum. The answer is New Orleans.
Oh.
You're right.
Been there.
Yeah, so have I a couple of times.
From what I remember.
Did you like it?
From what I remember.
Oh, from what you remember. Oh,
went there
it's one
a
of
Bucks
those
game.
Things.
About 20 of us went for a Bucks game. And we did Bourbon Street.
You really did Bourbon
we did.
On Bourbon Street, huh?
A couple times,
didn't
yeah.
you? Well, it's a great place to go. They have great restaurants. Yeah. It's a fun place. Didn't we once have a thing where it was considered one of the most, biggest sin cities?
Oh, yeah.
You know. Anyway, stay tuned for the great... Craft Beer Hour with Kenny and Bill right after the news. They have a wonderful show speaking about beer and that kind of thing. We'll be back Friday. Remember, freedom works.
Let's get together tonight. I got some money in my jeans and I'm really gonna spend it right.